This is the Hockey News Podcast.
Welcome to the Hockey News Podcast. I am Ryan Kennedy. We are in a car driving back from the World Juniors in Buffalo. Ken Campbell is behind the wheel and a special guest in the back seat from Finland. And Ilta Sanomats, Sammy Hoffman. Sammy, thanks for being here.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
No problem. So, World Juniors.
We had no choice. We had to drive him home, and he's in the car. Like, really, we have no choice but to put him on the podcast.
Sammy needed a ride, and in lieu of gas money, we're making him come on the podcast. So, the World Juniors in the books. Canada comes away with the gold medal in what was a very good game against Sweden. 3-1 victory, Tyler Steenbergen the hero, and then there was an empty netter after that. To begin with, guys, just thoughts on the tournament and Canada's victory.
Well, I thought that that Canada was, from beginning to end, the best team in the tournament. It didn't surprise me that they won. I thought their back end was really impressive. Their top four defense, which they played a lot, I thought that was really a big key to their victory. Goaltending, I mean, Canada's had some bugaboos in goal, you know, over the years. This time they got, good enough goaltending. I mean, Carter Hart was very good. And they had, I think they had enough up front. I don't think they had a ton of firepower up front.
Right.
And I don't know that we're going to see a lot of these guys being big offensive guys in the NHL. But they had enough to get the job done. So, good job by them.
Yeah, Sammy, as an outside perspective, what did you see from Canada?
I thought Canada was just solid. Like, throughout first line, second line, third line, fourth line, all the D pairs. Like, 3 years ago in Toronto, that team was just stacked. Mm-hmm. They had, like, McDavid and all those guys. But this year, it was just, solid team effort. And it's funny because, previous years, it's always been, like, the Finnish way to play. And all of a sudden, Canada was the team that they didn't have, like, superstars or players like that. It was just, solid effort. And I think in the final game, Sweden was the better team, like, 5-on-5. But
yeah.
But at the end, like, in a way, like, Steenbergen, like, he was the fourth liner, and he scored the winning goal. And that's almost, like, that's the whole, like, the whole picture of the tournament for Team Canada, that they had guys just, like, stepping up and just, delivering. So overall, I think Team Canada was the most, like, convincing team in the tournament. They didn't, like, dominate, but they were solid from the first game to the last game.
Yeah, I would agree, and I was a little bit, like, disappointed right at the end because Sweden was being assessed a lot of penalties, and Canada, I think they had one penalty all game, and it just felt like a little weird in that respect to me. I kind of wish that the Swedes had the opportunity to make a last-minute comeback, and unfortunately, that didn't happen. But I think you're right on the mark there, Sammy. A lot of credit has to go to Coach Dominique Ducharme for the way that he balanced out his lineup. And it's funny, we talked a lot, off-air about, Connor Timmins on the back end, the Colorado pick, and how solid he was, but also how dynamic Cale Makar was. And Cale Makar didn't actually play that many minutes.
He didn't, yeah.
But he really had an impact when he was out there. And Ken, I think you're right. This isn't a team of future NHL first liners necessarily, but you're going to have some pretty good second liners, guys like Jordan Kyrou, in St. Louis, and it'll be interesting to see what Sam Steele can do in the next couple of years in the Anaheim system. But I think they really just played all together well, and that was that. And when we're talking about Sweden, I thought they were really good in this tournament, and this is a good way to transition into what was the story of the night other than gold.
Yeah.
which was Swedish captain Elias Andersson, the New York Rangers first rounder, hucking his silver medal into the crowd, and then afterwards telling the press that he was fine with it. He was happy with his decision. He didn't want the silver. He already had a silver medal from the under-18s, and you know, I think that there was a lot of talk on Twitter last night about it, and I would say that when all the media, when we were waiting for guys to come out and do the interviews, and even after Andersson came out and spoke and sort of doubled down on what he did, I think a lot of us were like, yeah, we get it. Like, yeah, way to go, man. Like, you know, you're mad. You wanted that gold medal. You didn't get it. And I know that on Twitter there's a lot of people that thought it was bad sportsmanship and things like that. But I feel like the press was like, yeah, we're feeling you, kid.
Oh, yeah. And if I'm the New York Rangers, I'm loving that. I'm loving seeing that from one of my prospects. He hates losing. That's like, that's what you want in a leader, isn't it? You know? I mean, and you know what? I mean, I think anybody who is saying that it was bad sportsmanship or being hard on him right now, I mean, give the kid a break. You know, it was the heat of the moment. I'm sure, you know, when he reflects upon that later on, he'll be proud that he won the silver medal, and that, you know, and that he, you know, that team got as far as it did, and you know, I'm sure he'll look fondly on it, and he'll probably feel a little sheepish about tossing it into the crowd. But you know what, for what he did at that moment, I got zero, like absolutely zero problem with that.
Yeah, I loved it. Sammy, what'd you think?
I think it was just natural. Like that's, you know, that's him. Like, he just, at that moment, that was the feeling. Like, he's going to be the captain of the Rangers in the future. Like, you want those kind of guys to actually be on your team. And a lot of guys say, like, yeah, I want to win and I hate to lose. And that's a guy that just hates to lose.
He proved it.
Yeah. And I mean, like, he was the leader of that group. Like, he was the catalyst of that team.
Mm-hmm.
And like he said afterwards, like, under-18s, he lost the final. Under-17s, semifinal lost and stuff like that. It's like, he was just fed up. Mm-hmm. And he just wants to win. And that's the only thing that matters. So, I mean, just, like, give the kid a break. Like, that was a big blow for Sweden and for that guy. It's like, that, like, just like, that was a natural reaction for Andersson. So, just, I don't know, I have no problem with that whatsoever.
There you go. And it's interesting because I thought that this year the tournament all-star ballot was the hardest I've had to fill out, because it was a very balanced field, and ultimately I didn't have Elias Andersson, but I definitely considered him. And I think that, yeah, you know, he has that leadership and he has that fight and that emotion, and that's why New York partially picked him so high on top of the great two-way skills he has. But let's talk about some of the other players that impressed in this tournament, and we'll start off with the draft eligible kids. And we'll start right at the top. Rasmus Dahlin, fantastic for Sweden. I thought he might have been MVP of the tournament. It actually went to Casey Mittelstadt of Team USA, who was very good. But Rasmus Dahlin, Ken, what did you think of his tournament?
I was really impressed. I'd never seen the kid play before. I'd heard a lot of what people were saying about him. But I was very, very impressed by this guy. He, to me, and I remarked on it, and a couple of scouts kind of sort of saw it the same way. I see him as like a Chris Pronger without the nastiness, you know, and or like, even, you know, if you want to go a little further back, like a guy like Larry Robinson, you know, someone like that. Just really, really poised with the puck, makes all the right decisions. Not like I think, you know, I mean, he's not on the Nick Lidstrom poised with the puck level.
Right.
And maybe he will be someday, but you know, just really, really, you know, seemed to make all the little plays and all the big plays, you know, mm-hmm. like just a little outside of his own, you know, all those things that you love to see a defenseman do. And I thought, really, he cemented his status as the number one guy. And it's funny because you talk to, like we were talking to some of the guys like Philip Zadina, and I was talking to Brady Tkachuk yesterday, and they were like, yeah, Dahlin's going one. Let's not kid anybody here. Dahlin's going one, and we're all kind of fighting for two. And I think that this tournament kind of set that right into place.
Yeah. Sammy, what did you see from young Rasmus?
No, the hype was just, like, before the tournament, it was just off the hook. But he was that good. He was, I think he was even better than I expected. Mm. Like, he was, like, in every game, he was the guy from the back end that, you know, drove the play, and, you know, he was doing, you know, all the right things. And, like, playing style, I would say he's almost like Brian Leach with, like, Chris Pronger in it. Like, he wants to, you know, he wants to hit people, and at the same time, he's just, like, driving the play every single shift. And after the final loss, he was one of those guys who were just going after him. Like, he was
mad.
He was smashing the stick, and, like, he was just, like, he wanted to win the goal. That was his main goal. Like, he doesn't give a damn about the draft right now. He just wants to be the best player on the ice every single game. And right now, he's better than Erik Karlsson when Erik Karlsson was 17 years old.
That's fair, I think.
Like, by far. So, I mean, this player is legit right now. He's one of, I don't even know when was the last time Sweden actually produced a player like this. It's been a while. You had to go back to Peter Forsberg and all those players. Like, this kid right now, he's the guy for sure.
Yeah, and I think for me, what's really illuminating was having seen him at the World Juniors last year. He was, you know, a great offensive force, and obviously it was a lot of fun watching him, but the defense wasn't, like, super hot last year. But now when you watch him, it's like those are some of the best details of his game. Like, he anticipates in the defensive zone, and he breaks up chances because of it. There's one particular play late against the Americans when Team USA was trying to get back into it. They were only down two, and someone made a pass behind the net. He intercepted it, cleared it out, threat nullified, and, you know, obviously Sweden goes on to win it. So for me, it was definitely sort of a confirmation of just how far he has come from what was already a pretty high ceiling last year when we first saw him. Now, next question, because we did have some other great draft-eligible players in this tournament. A couple of the high-end kids didn't have very big roles. Andrei Svechnikov was basically a fourth liner for Russia. Quinn Hughes was the seventh defenseman for Team USA. Rasmus Kupari barely played for Finland. He's, you know, he could be a top 10 pick. Maybe he's top 15, top 20, depending how things shake out. But there were two players that I thought made great impacts, and I know, Ken, you agree with me here. Philip Zadina of the Czech Republic and Brady Tkachuk of Team USA. I'm going to throw it out this way to you. Philip Zadina or Brady Tkachuk, who you got?
Well, first of all, I want to trademark the Funky Cold Zadina nickname.
Nice.
That's I'm going with that
all
right now.
Good.
But for me, and, you know, you kept sort of joking with me about it, your guy Tkachuk.
Yeah.
I loved Brady Tkachuk in this tournament. I loved everything about his tournament. And I think, you know, and Bob Motzko, the U.S. coach, was saying yesterday, you know, we kind of thought that next year was going to be his big year, you know, offensively. Kid had 3 goals and 9 points in the tournament. He was, like, second or third on the team in scoring.
Wow.
You know, I don't even think he's going to be playing in this tournament next year.
Right.
Because I think there's a good chance he's going to be playing for the Buffalo Sabres or the Vancouver Canucks or whoever has the second or third pick. Because this kid, he brings it. I love everything about, like, he was playing in the last minute when they were up a goal. He was killing penalties. He was doing everything. You know, to me, I know Corey Smittelstadt was the MVP. There's going to be a lot. Or sorry, Casey Mittelstadt. I knew I was going to screw that up at
that's
one
right.
point.
I like
never did in print.
Parties.
Never did in print. Did it now.
Yeah.
Casey Mittelstadt was really the MVP, and he was very, very good. And Kiefer Bellows got all those goals. He got 9 goals, broke an American record. But to me, I mean, you look from beginning to end, and I know there's going to be a lot of people that disagree with me, but I'd say beginning to end, I think their best player was Brady Tkachuk.
Yeah.
No, I would agree with you. I mean, with Bellows breaking Roenick's record, it's like, yeah, you got to give him props for that. But, like, if I'm thinking about the player that I would want on my NHL team in 1 or 2 years, I mean, it's hands down Brady Tkachuk in that scenario. Sammy, I pose the same question to you. Philip Zadina or Brady Tkachuk, who you got?
First of all, about Tkachuk, can you imagine me, like, there's 2 Tkachuks in Calgary?
Oh.
That would be insane. Like, those guys have the balls. Like, in the outdoor game, like, Brady Tkachuk, after the goal, on shootouts, that celebration was like, just bring it on.
Yeah.
That was great. But, yeah, I have to agree. I mean, with Tkachuk, he was better than I anticipated at first. Like, I think he's going to be more of an impact player than Matthew Tkachuk.
He's
a big body and all that, and I mean, he was good in this tournament for sure, and he was consistent.
Yes.
From the first game to the last game, but with Zadina, that guy is going to be like Nico Hischier of tournament.
Yeah.
That guy is just, he was good. I wasn't sure about Zadina before the tournament. Like, is he that good? But man, he was dynamic.
He plays for the same team as Nico Hischier and lives with the same billet family as Nico Hischier did last year in Halifax. But yeah, I really, really like that kid. I didn't know, like, I mean, I don't follow this as much as I used to, and you're obviously, as everyone who's listening and knows, Ryan Kennedy's our draft prospect guy. So I didn't know much about this kid at all, but I thought he was just terrific. Like, he was the drivetrain for that team. Like, that team was a lot better this time than a lot of Czech teams have been in the past.
Certainly.
And they, you know, they had a good run. They made it to the bronze medal game and got their asses handed to them in it, but that's okay. But I mean, he was the drivetrain on that team. He was the power. He was, like, he was the guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the Nico Hischier comparison. I was thinking the same thing where, in terms of, you know, coming out in a tournament, showing the rest of the world what he can do. I mean, Philip Zadina has been one of the top scorers in the Quebec League this year, so he's not coming out of nowhere. But I think for him to shine on such a big stage, to show that he's not afraid of anybody, to play in a tournament that is usually dominated by 19-year-olds, and to do so as he's a late birthday, so he is, you know, if he's not 18 already, then he's close to it. It's just, the skills are there, the motor is there, and, you know, the creativity. It's really similar to what Nico Hischier did last year, where, you know, that's the guy you got to cover when you play that team, and he's going to score anyways. You just can't do anything about it. And I'm also a big Brady Tkachuk fan, but I would not be surprised if at this point Zadina went second. And granted, it depends on the team drafting, but it just, like, the offensive upside is so high with him. And, you know, I'm going to be interested to talk to scouts and GMs in the wake of this World Juniors and see how they see this draft class right now. Because, I mean, with Svechnikov, you know, he's going back to Barrie in the OHL. Had success there. He had an injury, you know, before the World Juniors, came back kind of just in time. But I'm very curious to see what everybody's top five is going to look like right now.
A couple of the scouts I talked to said that their number two guy is still Svechnikov. And they were like, you know, I mean, for one of the reasons for what we alluded to before, he really didn't get, you know, much of a look in this tournament. He didn't really get the ice time that a lot of people would have expected. And, you know, they said he's, you know, that a lot of them think that he's primed for, like, just to be a monster in the second half here in Barrie. So I think you got to keep looking out for him too.
For sure. And I mean, Svechnikov does have tremendous size. You know, he's got the hockey pedigree. His older brother Evgeny is the Detroit Red Wings prospect. And I think the thing to remember about Svechnikov that unfortunately we didn't get to see, because, you know, Russia tends to be a very veteran-laden squad. I was glad that Svechnikov was there, but they do tend to play the older players more, and that's fine, I get it. It usually works for them. It didn't work this year because they played Team USA in the quarterfinal. But Svechnikov, he does have some really nice details to his game, so you are getting a player that can do more than score, but he certainly has that element to him.
The thing is, in World Juniors, you never, like, you only get to, like, you know, the stock, like, they're like 17-year-old players. Like, you know, like, those guys, it's only one tournament. So, like, in Russian team, that's it. Like, in the fourth liner and third liner, that's it. So, I mean, he's going to be a good player. Like, that's the thing. A lot of times people are just like, oh, he didn't produce at that tournament, but in World Juniors, those guys who are, like, going to be drafted, you can only, like, I don't know, raise your stock, and that's the only thing. Like, it's the only one tournament.
Yeah, a good, and I've heard this from scouts, like, a good World Junior tournament does a lot more positively for you than a bad World Junior tournament does negatively.
Yeah.
For that reason, I mean, you know. We almost just got in an accident here. It used to be that, you know, this was a tournament that was absolutely, you know, a 19-year-old tournament. That's starting to change a lot now, you know, because these kids are coming through, you know, under 16, under 17 programs, under 18. And by the time they do get to this level, even if they're draft eligible, they're a lot more ready for a lot of this stuff than they've ever been.
Yeah.
And so that... But it's a long-winded way of saying, yeah, I mean, it's not the be-all and end-all.
Yeah. And it's funny, too. I almost get the sense now that with a lot of national teams, they say to themselves, like, well, if we don't have this kid on the team this year, we're not going to get him next year because he's going to be in the NHL, so we should probably give him a crack right now. Since we have a Finnish national here, let's end off just talking about Team Finland. You know, they lost in a shootout to the Czechs in the quarterfinals, so that's something that could have gone either way, and then you never know what happens, you know, against Canada in the next round. But, Sammy, your assessment of how Suomi did and the players, if they lived up to expectation, if they didn't live up, what were your thoughts?
Well, it was a disaster for Team Finland, because for a long time, Team Finland was the team that they didn't have the players. They didn't have the high-end players. So in order to actually be a good team, they had to play the right way. They had to have the system right. And now in Buffalo, they had the players. Yeah. And all of a sudden, like, system-wise, they lost to Canada, U.S., all those teams. And they were playing, I mean, I was disappointed, like, how Team Finland played. They weren't playing fast enough, and they, like, it was too slow and too sloppy, and, like, Miro Heiskanen was one of those guys that were just, like, he wasn't there for some reason. And, like, the back end, they had a lot of good players.
Yeah.
Like, that D corp was the deepest Finland had ever had. Like, that was it.
Yeah, it looked like it was going to be, on at least on paper, the best decor in the tournament.
Yeah, for sure. But it didn't look like that. It was just like they didn't, like, you know, puck movement, and like they weren't playing the right way from the get go. Like they didn't, against Canada, against US, they were just like, they were too slow as a unit. And that's on the coaching staff for sure. So that's why the coaching staff right now, they're getting a lot of heat in Finland right now.
So, Sammy, when do we start kind of worrying about this program? Because last year was even worse, as you know. I mean, they were playing for relegation.
Yeah.
And this year, you know, losing in the quarterfinal. I mean, I guess that's I guess that's a step up.
Yeah.
Technically, they improved.
Technically, that's a step up, but is there something endemic in the Finnish program, Sammy, that's causing these results, or is it just an aberration, or what do you think?
Where is Kari Kivi?
He's coaching in Finnish league right now, but that's a big question, because in Finland, we have this, like, reputation that, okay, our coaching and, like, coaches are, like, off the hook. Like, we're the best.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure about that. Like, you know, the competition in the world right now is just, it's hard. And right now, all of a sudden, we have top-end players. But do we actually, like, do the coaches and the coaching staff, do they actually know how to play, like, modern game right now?
You have to be active.
You have to have the pace. You have to be, like, in demand. Like, you have to control the pace all the time. Against US and Canada, Team Finland wasn't that good. Like, they were the underdogs, like, in playing style.
Mm.
So, I mean, that's a big question right now, because it's been, like, this kind of, like, a myth in Finnish hockey that system-wise Team Finland has always been good.
Yeah.
But are they really that good?
Interesting. I mean, maybe it's a matter of trying to fit an antiquated system into a group of players that, as you say, Sammy, is more talented.
Yeah.
You know, because you think about it, right? You get more talented players, you should be better.
Yeah. Right.
But what is Finland's identity as a hockey nation, right? Finland's identity as a hockey nation is they wear that lion on their chest and they play with the heart of a lion, right? And they're like, no matter what, if it's a bunch of bad players, good players, no matter what, the thing with Finland has always been, you're in a battle. You're going to be in a game. You're going to have to earn your win if you're going to beat these guys. And now I'm not so sure that that's the case. Like, I'm not sure they're scaring people that way, the way they maybe used to. And maybe that's because they got more talented players and they rely more on talent than they do on, on grit and all those other things that we've always expected from teams in Finland.
No, the thing is, like, we used to be the underdogs. The Team Finland was the underdog. And all of a sudden, you had to be the team on the ice.
Mm.
So it used to be, solid 5-on-5 defensively and, you know, all that, goaltending. But now you have the tools to be the team on the ice.
Yeah.
So I think that's gonna be a battle for Finnish hockey right now, in order to actually, like, get the steps to be like Team Canada or even Team Sweden right now. Because the Swedes are, like, in the final game, like, they were a better team. Like, they were, like, they were making plays and they were, like, pushing the pace and stuff like that. So, I mean, that's gonna be a challenge for Finnish hockey right now to get to that level that we're not the underdogs anymore. Like, we need to be the team that, you know, is making the plays and actually, like, being the leader on the ice.
I wonder how much it hurt them that they didn't have a lot of depth at center, because, you know, we knew the decor was going to be good, and then the best forwards they had were Eli Tolvanen, the Nashville pick, and Christian Vesalainen, the Winnipeg Jets prospect, both of whom are wingers. And, you know, down the center they had Jani Kuokkanen, the Carolina pick, and Apeli Rasanen ended up taking his spot on the first line. Rasanen's an Edmonton Oilers pick. But neither of those guys are, like, star centers. And, I mean, thinking about it, it's like, man, I don't know what they're going to do next year necessarily. I'm not sure if Rasmus Kupari can be, like, the guy, or if that's asking a little too much of the young man. But, I mean, this next year might be kind of a bad year for Finland, too, if somebody doesn't step up.
I think so, yeah. And for the tournament, that was a big question mark. Like, goaltending, sure, but the center, like, they didn't have an actual number one center. Kuokkanen, he could play in center, but he was playing wing in Carolina and in Charlotte. Like, he's a winger. Like, he's not a center. So, and that showed in tournament. Like, he wasn't that good in the first line. Mm. And then he was playing in second line, third line, and all that. So, because you need, like, in Team Canada, it was just, you know, first, second, third, fourth. They had the centers. Like, that was it. And you had to have good centers at the right position. Like, Finland didn't have a dominant first line until Räsänen went to the first line.
Yeah.
But he's not a first line center.
Yeah.
And after that, they didn't have a second line center. So that was a major issue for sure.
Right on. Well, that'll do it for our World Junior wrap. Thanks to Sammy Hoffren for sitting in here. Next year's World Juniors in Vancouver and Victoria. Thanks for listening.